Live in the Quicken Loans studios, my name is Jim Rome. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently, and do it with Quicken Loans. All right, so we start hour number two. Nice to have you here. If you missed the first hour, we talked about the weekend in the NFL. Rams get beaten last night by Philadelphia. Nick Foles stepping up yet again. Man, kind of a weird weekend. Patriots supposed to get right. Seattle looks so dangerous. The Cowboys were a force. Buzzers across the board. We reset the appearance in Mission Valley yesterday. A number of you clones showed up and packed the Buffalo Wild Wings, and you're recapping it on this program, which is great. I haven't even had a chance to lay my thoughts out, but I've been responding to a lot of it. If you want to hit that, you go right ahead. Chris Beard is the head basketball coach at Texas Tech. He's going to join me in about 35 minutes. Next hour, Steve Smith Sr. and Adrian Phillips of the LA Chargers. We can go back to Thursday night where the Chargers came back on the Chiefs. And we'll hit that topic a little bit later on. Meantime, very quickly, if you're on hold, stay there. I do want to talk about the Pats for 1 minute. Because for years now, anytime the Pats have slipped up, everybody has rushed in to bury them. You know, like, look, see? Belichick has finally lost it. He finally got rid of too many key guys. Tom Brady is finally old. The league has finally caught up to them. And every time somebody races in to bury them, every time that happens, the Pats are able to climb out of the grave and bludgeon the rest of the league with that shovel. I mean, you bury them, and then they go to the Super Bowl. You can set your watch to it. We've seen it time and time and time again. This is why I've been saying all along that the Patriots will be done when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are done. In other words, you don't get to say when the Patriots are done. The Patriots will say when the Patriots are done. But that does not stop people from looking to smash them any chance they can, and especially after that meltdown last week against Miami. And it's not going to stop people from looking to embalm them after yesterday's meltdown against the Steelers. You see, because playing the Steelers is supposed to get the Patriots right for a couple of reasons. Number one, they had that weird thing about playing in Miami over the years. And they lost on a fluke play that required a bunch of mistakes earlier in the game for that play to even matter. It's one of those Miami things, though, right? Weird things happen to them in South Beach. I mean, one of those mistakes was Tom Brady actually forgetting the number of timeouts that the Pats had at the end of the first half. So when does that happen? Never. Never. So it was easy to say that was a fluke loss, a freak event that could only happen in a place like Miami, but would never happen again. And definitely not against the Steelers, who had just lost to the Raiders and had not beaten the Patriots in their last five meetings. You know, Hoodie, Brady, the Pats, they've got this like complete and total mental hold on the Steelers. Pittsburgh always finds ways to lose to New England. Sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's unique, sometimes they don't even bother getting off the bus. Sometimes they no-show completely. I mean, there's no way New England can lose to Pittsburgh, especially after that embarrassing loss to Miami. Pittsburgh, 17. New England, 10. The franchise that had beaten Tom Brady a total of two times in his whole life just beat him for a third time. And it's not just that the Patriots lost back-to-back games in December for the first time in forever. It's how they lost. Don't recognize these guys at all. 14 penalties. 14. For over 100 yards, five false starts, five straight punts at one point in the game for the first time in 3 years, and they were 0 for 3 in the red zone. And with whatever the hell this was from Tom Brady, Brady of all guys doing this, down four in the fourth quarter, Tom Brady did this.
Now the pressure. Brady heaves it, and is it intercepted? He came down with it, and the feet down for Hayden. Intercepted. Ruling on the field. The feet were down.
Brady under pressure, and he never makes this type of mistake. Throws it down the sideline. Hayden comes off Edelman, and a catch.
Yes.
Whoa!
I mean, Brady. Brady down four in the fourth in the red zone generally is money in the bank. That's when that guy does his best work. Not when he starts arm punting. The freaking hell was that, Tom? The freaking hell was that, Tom?
Trying to throw it away and didn't.
Was that because you were jostled as you let it go, or
Yeah, I was just trying to flick it out of bounds. Didn't want to take a sack, and just shouldn't happen.
All right, shouldn't happen. But if that was just trying to, quote, flick it out of bounds, that situation might be even worse than we thought, because that did not look like a flick, and it sure as hell didn't get out of bounds. I mean, how is that possible? Did this guy's arm strength just vanish overnight? And did his brain go with it? Because that's now two straight weeks where this guy's had horrible errors that cost them points. You wonder how rare that is. That's Brady's first red zone pick since 2016. Yeah, but then again, whatever. Because you know how that's going to go. The Pats look like they're about to blow it to the Steelers, and then they drive down and they win it in the end. And sure enough, they drove right back down to the Steelers 11 in the final minute to force overtime and eventually win it. All right, fine. There was a holding on second down. Still does not matter. All that means is Brady's epic TD is going to come from the 21 instead of the 11. But then he threw another incomplete pass. And then another, which meant that when he threw a TD pass on fourth down, it was going to be soul-crushing to the Steelers. He's Tom freaking Brady. They're the Steelers. He's got this.
Right around the first down yardage at the six. Here's Brady down the middle. And it's knocked down, incomplete. Intended for Edelman.
Wait, what? He didn't find a way to win that game. The Patriots lost to the Steelers in December. Losses in December. Losses to the Steelers. Red zone picks. I mean, these are like plagues of locusts and frogs falling out of the sky. What the hell are we seeing here? This doesn't happen. We never see this. The Patriots don't do this. Let me just say this, though. I'm not backing down. I have said the Pats will be done when Bill and Tom say they're done. I'm not changing from that. I'm not worried about the Pats. But if I was worried about the Pats, I'd be worried about the fact that they've had two back-to-back sloppy games. I'd be worried about the fact that they went 3-5 on the road this season, and they're clearly not the same team away from Foxborough. And the way they're playing right now, they're going to have to go on the road in the postseason. I'd be worried that the Pats receivers cannot get the separation they normally get. I'd be worried that Gronk does not seem like Gronk, either on offense or defense, and that Gronk is starting to look like a shot fighter. I'd be worried about the fact that Tom Brady doesn't look 41, he looks 61. I'd be worried about the Patriots having never reached a Super Bowl without having a playoff bye. But most of all, I'd be worried about this quote from Bill Belichick.
I was proud of our guys that we battled all the way from the first play to the last. In the end, we just came up a little short. They made a few more plays than we did. And, you know, obviously, penalties and a red area are pretty much the difference in the game. So they do a better job there. But it's one of those typical tough football game against the Steelers. And as I said, they did a little more than we did tonight.
Who the hell is that guy? Who the hell is that guy? And what'd you do with the real Bill Belichick? Belichick does not talk like that. Belichick was proud of his guys after a loss. Belichick is never proud of his guys after a win. How can he be proud of his guys after a loss? I never heard him talk this way, even after winning a Super Bowl. And now he's proud of his guys for losing at Pittsburgh the way they did. He's proud of their effort. He's proud of the way they battled. What's next? Participation ribbons? Come on, man. Alvin, you can throw that into your spooky mix, because that's pretty scary. Hey, but I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the Patriots. But if I was, that quote would concern me. And so would everything else. I mean, this guy's like, what do you want me to say? We got beat. And they made a few more plays. And they did a little more than we did. You think I'm going to kick them in the junk when they're down? They need me to pick them up. Last thing they need me to do right now is punch them in the package. They need me to pick them up. I'm not concerned. But if I were concerned, those are 10 things that would concern me. Patriot fans, now what? I mean, you can go ahead and explain that Miami thing away as a Miami thing. The weird things always happen there. The thing is, weird things do always happen there, but weird things don't happen when you play the Steelers. You always beat them. Weird things happen to them, not to you. I mean, Brady, what's this guy doing? He can't remember how many timeouts he has. He tries to, quote, flick it away out of bounds and arm punts it. What kind of pass was that? What kind of a decision was that? I'd be concerned. And yes, I am on record as saying they're not done until they're done, but there are some reasons for concern. This email says, great, Rome. The Pats lost back-to-back games. It is truly amazing. When the Pats win at home, it's never the Pats are the more disciplined team. It's always the Patriots are paying the refs, blah, blah, blah. But what a coincidence. The Patriots lost on the road in the real house that the refs built. They're called for 14 penalties compared to four. Yes, four. Four penalties for the Steelers. The Steelers get away with holds, blocks in the back, PIs all night long, and they still hang on to win by a thread to win that game. No big deal. See you in January. Your place or at home, it won't matter. Matt in Poland Springs. All right, that's exactly what I'm looking for. A Patriots fan. This guy says, I'm not worried. I don't care where we go. I don't know, Matt. Matt, I've watched your team all year long. You're not the same team away from Foxborough. You're just not. But they're not done until they're done. Let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. Hanging out. What's up, Rick?
Sometimes in life, Jim, if you want to play the part, you got to look and sound the part. And if anyone should know this, it's that theater intern Mark in Hollywood. Mark sounds like a 9-year-old hopped up on helium and stands all of 5'1". And that's when he's wearing his favorite pumps. Yet this tool wants everyone to take him seriously as a trash talker. Sure thing, Mark. Just like playing the role of baby Jesus in your church's Christmas pageant is going to make everyone take you seriously as an actor. It is pretty amazing, though, how a 40-year-old dude can still fit inside a manger. Way to play to your strengths, midget man. And just like I said I would, Jim, I took over the Woodscopes a couple weeks back. Very few people have the game to follow Brad and Corona. I'm one of them. And leave it to the Woodman to follow up one of his greatest scopes by having the lead singer of the Spin Doctors on. Great pull, bud. If it was 1993, the Spin Doctors played a free show in Buffalo last summer, and about 12 people showed up. Kind of like one of your scopes when I'm not on. But I will give you credit for staying in the game, Woody. Unlike that failure Matt in Vancouver, have you guys ever heard of the Belligerent Canadian podcast? Neither has anyone else. Hey, Matt, maybe you can buy some listeners the same way you bought some Twitter followers, you loser. And a quick update, Jim. The Buffalo clone stock's all set for tomorrow night. If his car doesn't break down, Kyle in Green Bay is going to be my wingman. Check my Twitter feed for the details. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and the crew, Jim. And thanks for the vine. I'm out.
Rock him! Rick in Buffalo. Check his Twitter feed, at Rick in Buffalo. At Rick in Buffalo. A Buffalo clone stock going down tomorrow night. I support it. 1-800-636-8686. Where to start with that? Legitimate beef. Two jungle heavies. Couple of monsters. Rick in Buffalo and Mark in Hollywood. Also, he talked about the Belligerent Canadian podcast. Have you heard of it? Neither has anybody else. And very few people have the game to follow Brad in Corona on the Woodscopes. I'm one of those people. Hey, Woody, nice pull with the guy from the Spin Doctors. They played a free show here in Buffalo last summer. 12 people showed up. Kind of like your Woodscopes. I actually was listening for that interview. I checked in on Friday night. Who were the guys who were starting that rumor about, hey, Wood, that wasn't really Rome. He was trolling you. That was the guy who said that he was Spud Webb. That was the guy who said he was Corey Dillon. It wasn't Rome. Oh, no, it was Rome. It was Rome and Rome's wife listening to the Woodscopes. Neil in Cleveland took credit for hacking into my account. Every time I put Rick on, I start talking like Rick. It's crazy. I've got Chris Beard coming up at 40 past. My full recap of the Buffalo Wild Wings visit. That was yesterday in Mission Valley. If you want to call and talk about that, you go right ahead. Still ahead. The Bears win the North. Are they positioned for a deep run? Now that they're there, are they going to stay there? That's coming up. Building professionals, listen up. If you're a contractor or a builder or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you're going to need for all your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing and dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. Are you worried about selection and availability? You never have to be, because Lumber Liquidators has over 100 million, in fact, 150 million square feet of flooring available, with over 100,000 square feet in stock in most of their stores. And they do stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, and grout. So you can get exactly what you need when you have to have it. If you're too busy to pick up that flooring, they've got your back there too. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job. And with LL Pro Plus, you can get a business line of credit too. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
With only 2 weeks left in the regular season, it's all about the playoff picture. The Texans march northeast from Houston to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Then you've got Pittsburgh heading to the Big Easy when the Steelers battle the Saints. Big game right there. For complete playoff picture, the complete picture, kick your day off with the NFL today, Sunday, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. In fact, I will be there this weekend in New York, so look for that. The NFL on CBS, that's 12 noon and 9 Pacific. 1-800-636-8686. Telephone number is toll free. It's wide open. I've got Chris Beard coming up at 40 past. Adrian Phillips, top of the hour. Steve Smith Sr. coming up in the final segment of the show. All right, we're taking telephone calls. Let's get another one in here. We go to Chicago. Mark in Chicago. It's good to have you on the show, Mark. What's up? How are you?
Thanks, Rome. Listen, it was amazing to watch the scope from B-Dubs yesterday. Seeing Fabian was a real treat. The dude's raw energy and schnoz formation make Artie Lang look tame. Look, Fabian was a trooper. I mean, he had to spend 3 weeks collecting cans on the side of the 405 to save up enough money to get an Uber ride down there. Such dedication, such love. But he just didn't find enough mellow yellow cans to afford a ride home. Just wondering if you allowed him to ride home with you and your sled and crack open a Heine on the beach with you, or did you ask Alvy to come pick him up in his 16-passenger van that he uses to shuttle the kids around? Speaking of crappy food and service, does Hawk just use Just for Men on his mustache? Dude looks like he's got a black caterpillar posted up on that upper lip. You know, I can't blame him for keeping that thing, though. I mean, his free mustache ride jokes wouldn't work if he got rid of it. Lastly, Rome, let me leave you with this bit of breaking news. I have actual surveillance video of Josh in Detroit's visit to the mall when he claims he told the salesman he'd take everything. His actual words were actually, "Do you take food stamps, or can I just put that stick of deodorant on layaway? Josh, you're a blue-collar loser. Accept it. Rack me, Romy. I'm out."
Mark in Chicago, checking out the scope. So even if you weren't there, you might have been there. Did you see how it looked? Man, it's incredible that Fabian, like, everybody's got a Fabian story. This guy worked the entire bar. He did a better job of working that bar than I did. There are more Fabian stories than Rome stories, for sure. Of course, I wasn't cut off. Allegedly. Then again, I didn't even start. Were you there yesterday? Give me your recap. What were your impressions? This email says, Romy, you rock. Sitting at SNA right now, waiting as long as I can to board, just so I can hear every Fabian story that I can. War Die Hard is our family Christmas movie 10 years in a row. Signed, Ryan. You got it, Ryan. Die Hard is the best Christmas movie. There's actually like a controversy. Is it in fact a Christmas movie? It is the best Christmas movie. Not only is it a Christmas movie, it is the best Christmas movie. 1-800-636. 8-6. We'll be watching that again this Christmas. You know it. You know it. Additionally, the Bears. There were moments, but they got over. They took care of the Packers. Dear Jim, I would like to send out a hearty congratulations to the Bears and their fans for winning that division and going 1-1 against a bad Packer team. Dave in Chicago. Hey, Rome. Chicago proved they are legit on Sunday. That win over the Rams was big, but beating your rival when they have owned you is huge. To clinch that division and knock Green Bay out at the same time is a statement game. Regardless of the record, Green Bay is always dangerous because of Aaron Rodgers. What Chicago's defense has done this year is incredible. Trubisky still has a lot of upside, and Nagy has proved to be a genius. I don't know any team that wants to play Chicago in the playoffs. The Bears are back. War, Ray Liotta's makeup artist, getting a huge Christmas bonus this year. Jamie in Green Bay. It's actually very well said. Part of my take. 1-800-636-8686. So Chicago was about a lot of things. Or Sunday was about a lot of things for Chicago. A chance to win the North, a chance to lock up a playoff game at Soldier Field, a chance to put two W's between the Bears and that ridiculous Chase Daniel loss to the Giants. But to me, more than anything else, it was about this. A chance to finally take down Green Bay. A chance to finally get over on Aaron Rodgers. Because let's be real, nobody has ever owned anybody or anything the way Aaron Rodgers has owned Chicago. 5 straight wins, 15 of the last 17. As absolutely badass as Matt Nagy's defense has been. There is that smudge on that resume, right? That week one rabbit, the number 12, pulled out of his backside. The Bears had a 20-point lead late in the third. Rodgers carted off the field when he had that jacked up knee. It looked like his season was over before it even started. The next thing you know, this guy's hobbling back onto the sod at Lambeau and reminding the Bears who owns the NFC North. 14 weeks later, the Bears were not hiding it. Winning that division was important, but doing it against the Pack and Rodgers was even more important. Chicago 24, Green Bay 17. And if you want to know how it feels to finally get over on the Pack, to finally get over on number 12, just take a listen to Club Dub. Let me tell you something. That is not a nightclub popping off on a Friday night. That's the Bears locker room on a Sunday afternoon. Group of grown-ass men understanding what they did and how it felt to finally get over. To finally get over. I'll finish that thought in a few moments. When we come back, Texas Tech head basketball coach Chris Beard is my guest. Wait for that.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Time to start the interview portion of the program. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. As promised, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Texas Tech. Third season with the Red Raiders, 2018 Big 12 Co-Coach of the Year. He led Texas Tech to the Elite Eight last season. First time in school history, Texas Tech is 10-0, and they are number 11 in both polls. A huge game Thursday night against Duke, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are joined by Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard. Chris, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, great to be on.
Good to have you on. All right, so Saturday you beat Abilene Christian 82-48 in the final game at Lubbock Municipal Coliseum. Let me start right there. What did that game and that building mean to you personally?
It was awesome, Jim. Like, It's a historic building, right? It's been around since the 1950s. A couple kind of interesting facts. The first game ever in our old Coliseum, Tex Winter brought his K-State team in. Also, the UTEP National Championship team with Coach Haskins, that's where the regional was played. They beat Kansas before they went on to the Final Four that year. So just an historic building. Equally important, the first time I ever saw Willie Nelson live was at a concert in that building. So it was like mixed emotions for me.
Oh, that's awesome. We're talking to Chris Beard. You know, a few days before the final game, you and your former coach, Gerald Myers, were talking about the building and the memories that you had from that building. You went to his basketball camp back in the day. You won the hot shot competition. I know you wouldn't say that the two of you are peers, but what's it like talking to him now, knowing that you were at his camp back in the day?
It's been a great relationship. You know, it's like life always kind of comes full circle. And Coach Myers is somebody I really looked up to as a kid. I was able to go to one basketball camp as a kid. The rules were different in Texas in those days. There was no AAU, and you couldn't go to camps after you'd played high school basketball. So I was in eighth grade, and I'll never forget my parents said, hey, we'll send you to one basketball camp. And that was my first time ever to love it. You know, that hot shot deal was pretty cool, too. Like, so camp is over. We're all sitting there on the floor at the end, and they call my name, and then there was some kind of, like, problem, and they said, hey, you know, your trophy's not ready right now, Chris, but we'll mail it to you. And then they never did, man. It was like before the internet and email and all this stuff, but I wrote a couple hard letters, called the office a few times as a kid, and I just never got my trophy. Now, like 20 years later, you know, Coach Knight hires me to be an assistant out here, but I didn't have the balls to ask Coach Myers about the trophy, you know, because I'm an assistant for Bob Knight. I'm just trying to play my role. But it was always in the back of my mind, like, man, I got to get my trophy. Well, then, you know, God is good. I get this head coaching job a couple years ago, and the very first thing I talked about in the press conference was, Coach Myers, where's my trophy? To give you kind of an idea what kind of guy Gerald Myers is, he actually brings a trophy by the office a couple of days later. So I got my hot shot trophy 30 years later.
Man, that is so good. That is such a great story. I'm really glad that ended like that, Chris. You earned that trophy. Better late than never. All right, so you're coming off a season where you went to the Elite Eight before you lost to the eventual champion, Villanova. I fully understand that you're focused on the present and what's in front of you and the next game, but how big was that last year for you and the program?
Yeah, it was big, and I never, like, shy away from talking about it. I so appreciate last year's seniors that took us on, you know, the ride of a lifetime, but our deal is we don't want that to define our program. You know, and I said that right after the Villanova game last year, that we wanted to be back in the fight sooner than later. And here we are a few months later, you know, like scratching the top 10 and having a chance to play a very, very meaningful game in December against Duke in the Garden. But more than anything, last year's season kind of validated what we do. We've asked players to work really hard here and approach the game and do things with unselfishness that some of these guys have never done before. So when you ask guys to do things that they've never done, it's always good to have some success to validate, you know, what you're asking them to do.
We're talking to Chris Beard, Texas Tech head coach. But the fact is, you lost a lot of senior leadership. You lost a lot of talent from that team that moved on. Yet here you are 10-0, and you just keep right on rolling. How do you explain the fact that from the outside, it looks like you have not skipped a beat at all?
Well, you know, the first thing we did after that Villanova loss, when we got back to Lubbock, because we had a team meeting the next day, and I just told the guys, hey, we've got to have better players next year than we have this year. Of course, all the guys kind of look at you, and I said, well, but it could be the same people. You know, we don't need different people. We need different players. So, Jared Culver, you just had a great year as a freshman, but we got to have you a better version of yourself as a sophomore. So, the first thing I think has happened here is our returning players have gotten better. About half our team are guys that contributed on the Elite Eight run last year, so it's not like the cupboard was bare. Then we've recruited well. You know, Lubbock's a great college town. We're in the best conference in basketball, arguably the Big 12. We've got a lot of things to sell here, but I think – the combination of our returning players getting better and recruiting at a higher level has allowed us to stay relevant.
We're talking to Chris Beard. All right, so you mentioned Culver. He had 30 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists in that win over Abilene Christian. ACU's head coach, Joe Golding, said that he looked like an NBA coach. They had no answer for him. So how far has he come, Culver, from last year and to how bright is his future going forward?
Yeah, he's legit, Jim. He really is. I'm not one of these coaches that, like, sugarcoats it. I'll tell it like it is. I mean, he's an NBA player. He's one of the best players in college basketball. We'd be very fortunate, you know, to have him after this year. I'll support whatever he wants to do in that regard. But I think he's really a lottery pick kind of talent. And that's not just his the obvious things that everybody sees, the scoring, the athleticism, the IQ. It's all the intangibles that most people don't know about. He's addicted to the game. He's addicted to getting better. He's in the film room as much as any player I've ever coached. He's got a certain swagger and confidence about him, yet he's also very humble. He's the real deal. He was raised the right way by his family. I would like to think that we've done a pretty good job coaching him, but I don't want to put the pressures of the world on the guy's shoulders, but I also, you know, pride myself in being a truth teller at the core. You know, Jarrett Culver's an NBA player.
We're talking to Chris Beard. I appreciate that. That's a really strong statement. You know, obviously you have a guy like that and the talent's evident. How badly does he want to be coached? And then how important is it to have a locker room full of guys that want to be coached?
You know, that's who we are. You know, we don't try to be somebody we're not. Kelvin Sampson talked to our team earlier in the year. We scrimmaged Houston. Not sure if I'm supposed to talk about that, but if I'm going to get a violation, might as well get it on the Jim Rome show.
Good man. I got you.
We had a closed-door scrimmage against Houston, and Coach Sampson came in our locker room afterwards and talked. And he's like, guys, look, don't take this the wrong way. You're not Kansas. You're not Kentucky. You're not UCLA. Don't ever lose your chip. Don't ever forget where you come from. Don't ever lose that chip on your shoulder. And our guys have really embraced that. We've got a sign in our locker room that says, don't ever lose your chip. You know, we have great respect for everybody. But we also have a lot of confidence that nobody works harder than we do. But at the core of who we are, we've got guys that want to be coached. We're not easy to play for. We don't disguise that. But guys that love basketball and guys that want to get better, you know, I think do a good job in our program.
Texas Tech head coach Chris Beard joining us. All right, so you're facing number two, Duke, at Madison Square Garden on Thursday night. You've been around the game for quite some time. When you look at their talent, and they've got Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish. When you look at their pure talent, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Just kind of death. Just trying to figure out if we're going to be able to score a basket. No, I got a lot of respect for Duke. We're really appreciative that Coach K would play the game. You know, when we got here, we wanted to eventually, you know, win the fight. And to win the fight, you got to get in the fight. You got to play the best teams in the country. So we're very appreciative of Coach scheduling this game. We intend to take advantage of the opportunity and try to play our best game of the season. But I think Duke, you know, the talent is obviously there. The mock drafts have them 1, 2, 3 and all this. But I think just like all the coaches' teams, they're very unselfish. They play together. They defend. The whole world sees the talent. But, you know, I've had a chance to watch every game in preparation. And they're also just really, really well coached. And they play together. Even though they're all young guys, they have a certain chemistry about them that's pretty scary.
We're talking to Chris Beard. What about chemistry? I mean, is that something you can coach, or can you only recruit that? And what comes first, chemistry or the wins?
No, I think both. I think I tell our players all the time, like, it's like in a relationship. If you say, hey, the chemistry is just going to happen naturally, I think that's bull. You know, I don't believe that. I think you want to be in a good relationship, you got to work at it. And I think team chemistry is the same thing. It starts by coach recruiting guys that are unselfish and that want to be on the team or that want to play for Texas Tech and Duke. They don't want to play for what's on the back of the jersey, their individual names. But then you've got to work at it. You know, some of the things we do, our guys spend a lot of time together off the court. We try to eat every meal possible together. We try to get to know each other on a personal level. But I think chemistry is something that doesn't happen naturally. I think you've got to work at it. And obviously Coach K is the best. The TV show he's got going on right now, We've watched every episode, not because we're playing them, but also because we model our program after them in a lot of ways.
Chris, it's amazing, right? I talked to Bobby Hurley last week for my podcast. And Bobby's a guy who's doing great as a coach right now, had success at Buffalo, moved on to Arizona State, doing a great job there. You know, a 40-something guy who knows what it takes. But this is a guy who played for Coach K. And you look at Coach K, Chris, and the way he's still doing it at this high level, 4 decades plus in. When you see that he's still achieving at that level this far into his career, what do you think?
Just nothing but respect. You know, I had a chance to work for Coach Knight, and then Coach K obviously played for Coach Knight, worked for him for 1 year, I think, at Indiana. So I'm not telling you that I'm in the coaching tree. I'm like 3 blocks over in the park on the ground. I'm like a leaf in the corner. I'm not on the tree, but I've seen the tree. So a lot of things that the Duke program does, their culture, the unselfishness, the eye contact, the toughness, just the DNA in their programs are something we strive for. And I'm not saying we're there yet, but we do work really hard to try to kind of have a program like Duke.
Listen, before you go, I've had a number of coaches on this season who are also fathers, and they're watching their kids get involved in sports. What's it been like for you watching your daughters getting into sports as athletes now?
Jim, thanks for mentioning it, man. So my middle daughter, Ella, she's a sophomore, and she got moved up to the varsity a couple weeks ago. So they actually played a game in Lubbock. They live with their mom about 2 hours away in Abilene, but they played a game in Lubbock. And so I took our whole team, you know. It's one of those deals where I told the guys, hey, this isn't required, but if you don't go, you're not playing in the next game. So they kind of got it.
Right.
But we take like 50 people to this high school girls varsity game the other night and like brought the house down, man. We're doing like defensive chants. The guys are giving standing ovations. It was so good that the opposing team actually like wanted to get their picture taken with our team after the game. We basically elevated the atmosphere of a girls high school basketball game. But watching my daughter Ella play is awesome, man. It's like I literally get more nervous and more intense in her games than I do ours because, you know, I just wanted to play so well.
Such a good story. Now, what about your other daughter, Margo? You had a pair of legendary socks last year that Margo bought for you. They had neon rings on them, and starting the Big 12 tournament, you did not wash them. How did that start? What happened to the socks at the end of the year? Have you washed them, and do you bring them back, or have they been retired?
No, we're still kicking them, Jim. They're 10-0 right now. We're going to take them to Madison Square Garden. I had to break down and Febreze them the other day. You know, we can't wash them, but I Febreze them. It's my JUCO days, my D2 days. Back in the days where you gave us your room key at the Final Four, and we went up to the concierge and ate the prime rib sliders.
That's it.
You told us not to go in your room and shower, and we didn't. We kept our word. But looking back, we probably should have. But, no, the socks are still rolling. Just like every coach, you know, we all have superstitions. Any coach that tells you they don't is lying to you, and I'm not a liar. So we'll just work these socks as long as we can. And I mean, if we play well in the Garden, these socks are going to become legendary, legendary.
I think they already are, but you know, you're right, legendary, legendary. Not only are you not a liar, Chris, you're as real as it comes. Number 11, Texas Tech, going up against number 2, Duke. That's in the Garden. It's Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, and they're having a big year. Chris Beard, my guest. Chris, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back on. I know it's a huge week for the program. Good luck with that one on Thursday night. Love to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jim.
You're the man. Chris Beard, one of my favorites. And we do go way back, way back. He's told that story. It's one of my favorite stories ever. Head coach at Texas Tech, third season with the Red Raiders, 2018 Big 12 co-coach of the year. Man, if you're Texas Tech, you got to do whatever you can to make sure he's happy. You got to do whatever you can to keep him there as long as you can. Because this guy's won. He's already won big, big, big games there. And I love the approach, too. That no sooner than that was done, they get right back and they meet right afterwards saying, hey, we got to be better than we were. We have to be better next year than we are right now. We need better players. Wait, what? No, it can be the same players, but you need to be better. I love this guy's mindset. I love his approach. This email says, Goo Goo Dolls, Spin Doctors, when Rick in Buffalo calls your show and he goes on and on about early 90s bands, I'm left with one question. What's going on? Regards, 4 non-blondes. Body. And quickly, wow, Jim. Rick and Buffalo just ended Mark and Matt. You do not poke the hornet's nest. You don't put your face into the hornet's nest either. Signed, Ray Liotta. True in West LA. Still not a thing. Ray's face is not a thing. To like maybe 5 of you and some guy who wore it on a shirt yesterday. All right, my thanks to Chris Beard, Texas Tech, and Duke Thursday night. Great matchup. When we come back, Chargers safety Adrian Phillips. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.